Hebrews 10, 22 to 23. You know, I like my scriptures. I can't help it. It says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith, for he who is faithful... Oh, well, it's coming. For he who has promised is faithful, or he who is faithful... He who has promised is faithful. God is faithful. He's always faithful. As long as we're holding there, even when we don't, he is still faithful. And that's when I was looking through my story, I realized how far I've come. Sometimes you don't realize, you know, how much you think, you know, I've always been that way. But I see the changes. You know, I was like, it's like someone else was reading my story. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I didn't even know that. But this is mine. I'm the fourth child out of eight my mom had, yeah, just one mother. I was born into a Christian home, but there was also some idol worship on the side, and that was more for protection. I saw a lot of my parents lose their siblings very young, 60, 40 children, their children, cousins, nieces, nephews, whatever. It's like I see them one Christmas and the next Christmas, you know, they're gone. And that hasn't really changed so much. There's so much loss. So there was always that kind of, you know, something else we're holding on to keep protecting, you know, the family. But really, it don't work. And you will find out soon. Because my parents lost two sons anyway, despite all this, you know, things they were holding on to. But I went to a mission school between 11 to 16. My parents put me on. Well, I have a twin sister. Don't worry, she doesn't look like me, nothing like me. I have a twin sister, and my parents put us in a boarding school. And this was a mission school, one of those schools that's come about through the Anglican missions. So we had devotions and, you know, every other thing going on in the morning, in the evening. We trek very far to church on the Sunday, and we enjoyed it. But I look back now, that was torture. And we had all this white uniform, and you know, all these prefects telling us the way to walk and stop talking, and all this drama. And we had our green, well, our uniform was green. We had our berets and all the checks and the punishments and all that goes with boarding school, really. But it was a great time. At the time, it wasn't, but after I've come out of it, that was a bit of some of our making. So while we're in school, I'll say my school was located in River State in Nigeria, which is south of Nigeria. We're more towards the, well, as you hear the name River State, we're all surrounded by, bordered on the south by the Atlantic. So it's more, I don't know if you've heard of the Niger Delta, that's it in Nigeria. And that's the first state that the oil was found in Nigeria that would change, you know, the whole drama going on in there. So when I was 18, my first year in university, I decided that I wanted to publicly become a Christian, you know, announce I was a Christian, born again, spirit-filled. Well, I wasn't tongue-talking, but... And I went to church, and there's this church, it's called Deeper Life Bible Church. You hear the word deeper life, so it is deeper. No earrings, no makeup, cover your hair, long dresses, no watching TV, not even listening. You know, it's like that in the Bible, it's the same way in this world, but we're not of it. I think they took this literally. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. Though we're still alive, we haven't gone to heaven yet, but we are here. And I went to this church on the Sunday. And normally I would go to the Anglican church, but I went with my cousin just for this singular reason. Because when I was in secondary school, I'd given my life, I'd done the whole, you know, we had the scripture union. But I thought I was of age now. I really wanted to publicly say I'm a Christian, born again Christian. So I went to church. And my dad's favorite daughter or child or whatever. But it doesn't mean I got the goodies. That's not where this favor came from. It was more if my dad opened his mouth, it was me he was calling. You know, I was cleaning, washing, ironing, whatever. And on the Sunday, of course, my dad wakes up. He didn't go to church. And he's like, where am I? And said, oh, I went to church. So he's like, okay. The Anglican church, they will finish at a certain time. And he's looking, well, she should have been back. And when I came back, he's like, oh, where did you go, Ola? I said, oh, I went to church. And my dad loved me so much because I always said the truth. So I said, I went to deeper what? And I don't know what descended on me. All I can tell you, the next day, I'm going for my summer job, which we call vacation job. Oh, that's what my school union, and that's me. So, and the next day, all I remember is I've got all bruises and pains all over me going to work. So the Bible does say that, you know, when you give up all you've got, that it will give you 100-fold. You know, whether houses, whatever, property, family, you get 100-fold. But he also does say and persecution. So my persecution was waiting for me while I was giving my life in the Deeper Life Church. I'd got my first beating of what it was like to be a Christian. You know, my first trial, but that won't stop me. I'm going for Jesus. I'm going. And I want to go to church on Sunday, but my dad is like, he won't let me. Because it's like, oh, you have to do that, or whatever. If I sneak out and I come back, I'm in trouble. But I'm still going when I can anyway. My twin sister's traveled up north. She's pursuing her faith. She's even going into Bible school. My parents don't know this. They're all bothered about me, who is at home with them. And she eventually will become a full-time pastor and also go on to marry a full-time pastor. So it just come around full circle. But when my dad finds out about this, he then has a grip on me. It's like, oh, you won't marry a pastor. You know, it's like I felt like growing up, I was paying for the sins of all my other siblings. If they did something, I got the punishment. Now I was a good girl, and I can tell you that for sure. I was good. Well, not too much in the eyes of God, but I was a good girl. I didn't give my parents, you know, a lot of grief. So this will go on for a long time. And I'm looking back now, and I'm thinking, I think I must have been depressed at some point, because all I talked about was my father and all the drama that I was going through as a young, you know, adult or whatever. I'm 18 at this point. I finish university. I come back home, and I'm still undergoing this drama with my dad about church. And I lost myself. I didn't really know who I was, because I grew up around so much negative words spoken around me. Oh, you can't be, you won't be. You know, so even when the positives came, I didn't know how to take them. And that would go long into my adult life. If somebody said that I was that good, and then I'm questioning, what else do they need? I never really understood myself. Now, if I didn't understand my earthly father, how could I understand my heavenly one? It was hard to say father. I found it so hard to, you know, like, yeah, we prayed the Lord's Prayer, our Father. But when it came to the real, you know, who is my Father, I struggled with that. And I think someone must have seen me struggling, and they handed me a book and said, oh, read that. And it was something about, I call him Father, something along those lines. And after I read that book, I realized, wow, God loves me in spite of me. I don't have to be, you know, whatever. I don't have to be strong. I don't have to be so clever. I don't have to be, you know, whatever my dad wanted me to be. I'm just okay. I'm completing myself. So that's how far God had brought me with my father. Well, I continued to get involved in church. And when I went on, we have what we call National Youth Service in Nigeria. It's a one-year, like a one-year program. You go to serve. You could be anywhere in the country. And I joined the Christian Couples Fellowship. And that's where I began to see some of my strengths. But looking back now, I feel that every time people have had to pick me, I've never really volunteered, oh, I can do that. people have seen it in me and said, oh, you could do that. So I became a liaison officer. I can't even say the word, but you know what I mean. A corporate liaison officer. And that's a strength which I didn't know I had, considering I didn't value myself as whatever. And then I was also like a treasurer or something for them. And I came back a lot stronger. But immediately I came back home, I'm back home with my dad again. And we are going through this circle of you can't go, you can go, and all that, and stay working and all that. But I was a bit more free from the grip of my father in some kind of way. Now I understand that love, but I didn't. For me, just didn't make sense, really. I also flourished in my faith, but still a bit of drama going on at home. Well, I continued to pray for my father. That's one thing I kept doing. And over the years, my dad, you know, is like, oh, this man's not going to change. It would take the loss of two children that my father would then completely surrender his life to Christ. And that would make a lot of difference. My dad is with me at the moment, and he's in his 80s, he's got dementia. And when I come back from church, if I go back now, it's like he's seeing me for the first time. And he'll say, oh, where have you been? It's an innocent question, but I'm there fighting myself, like, underneath my breath, I went to church, I'm not 18 anymore, don't. This is my house, you know, you follow my rules, like. And I'm like, gee, you, they calm down. They only just act. He doesn't even remember, you know. He's like, he's seeing you for the first time. But, you know, it's like, I struggled a lot with my father. And I see, now he's so vulnerable. Me showing him that love, it has to be that Christ has done that. It has nothing to do with me because, I mean, he's vulnerable now. I could do whatever, you know. It's just what it is. That will bring me, you know, I don't know. That's how my growing up was, really. Now I will fast forward to 2003. I got married and, you know, you're hoping, oh, there'll be a family and every other thing will, you know, come and get the picket fence and the 2.5 children and, you know. Well, it didn't happen for me. I got the fence, but I didn't get the other things that come with it. And I struggled because as a young girl, I was a Christian. Come on, you know. Yeah, it's hard when you get married and you get all this going on. But when you're a Christian, I think it's another added kind of torture because you're there saying, God, what's happening? You know, I live this kind of a little holy life. And, you know, yeah, I wasn't too holy, but I was a good girl. And first year, second, third, fourth, blah, blah. My younger sister, who is so many years old, younger than me, she, in short, while my wedding was happening, she was having her introduction. So that wasn't funny, but it is what it is. 6 months later, she got married. By this time, she's already had two kids. I'm like, God, I just want one. Not even asking for two. But it didn't happen. And as the years went on, it became harder and harder. And I could see my marriage sort of, that's not what I planned for. We went for adoption. That, you know, it looked like it was happening. And then that just fell through. And that was another knock. You know, it's like, well, I can't even have mine. And I can't even have someone else's, you know, to look after. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I love children. And then you start hearing the husband say, oh, maybe God didn't want it to be. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. It didn't happen. Doesn't mean God, you know, didn't want us to have children. Why? But I will struggle with that too. But the worst will come when then my marriage is completely going under. It's happening. This is happening right before my eyes. And I'm like, God, you know, I'm fighting to keep it, but I can't. And at that point, as the years went on, I realized it won't happen. But now I'm stuck. I realize I've been, you know, living, getting married. I hadn't taken time to prepare myself financially. I don't really have much. the career I was pursuing didn't happen. I was training to be a math teacher. And because of all the drama going on at the time, no support at home, I couldn't really carry on that career. You know, I wasn't doing well with my studies. I finished and all that, but I didn't go on to qualify as a teacher, which is what I wanted. So at this point, it's like I've lost it all. The career, the husband's going, the marriages, you know, I'm back to square one. And now I am getting depressed now in all of this, but I don't realize it. I'm just going. I'm going to work every other day, coming back, doing the usuals. When I start washing the dishes, they're all falling off because I'm breaking them. They have to. Something has to give. I'm going to church. I'm not talking about it. But somehow these things have a way of coming out because it's either you start getting very angry with people or, you know, you there's some reaction going on. Nobody knows what is happening, but you know. And I'm hiding it, and I think I'm hiding it very well. My family, even when I didn't have kids, they're like, what's happening, which is normal. And I've lost so many friends. I've cut many friends off. We moved from London to Manchester, Trafford to Thameside, where I don't even know anyone. We're still going to church in Trafford, and that's where I knew Rokeya. And in this area we're living now, I really don't know much people. I'm just going to work, coming back, and trying to live life, really. And at this point, I then decide to tell my parents what is happening because I've kept it in too long. And I go to church and I just break down. I didn't plan it, but it happened. And while I'm thinking the ladies will not want to touch me, they all come flooding to me. And at this point, God uses people to signpost me to what I should, where I need to go. Because I feel I'm alone. I feel no one's going to help me. I feel I'm not vulnerable. I feel I don't have children, so no one, social services is not going to be concerned about me. I work. Why don't I just get out of the house and go rent somewhere? It doesn't matter, does it? But they now signpost me to what I should be doing. And this lady, Ruth, she takes me citizens' advice, trying to find out what to do and all that about housing and all every other thing going on because I can't afford it. And when this happens, she also says, oh, call the refuge. And I'm like, oh, no, they won't have me. Why? They need people with children, not me. So eventually, just because Ruth is on my case, Auntie Ruth, I call. Not calling because I think anything will come out of it. I call and the lady says to me, there's this assessment going on the phone. And one question that threw me, and I still will not forget it, what does your environment look like? And I look around, that TV cord is chopped off, that bike is chained to something, the whole place is in a mess. And then I knew that I was in trouble. Because all the while I'd been going, but now I knew I needed to get out. Even when they offered me a place, I'm still struggling. I'm saying, no, I'll come the next day. You don't really turn down these places because there's not many rooms or, you know, available for people. But anyway, I do turn up the next day with my rucksack. And that's where my healing will start. I then realize that I was killing myself while I was there. I'd start to heal. I start to realize I matter. My family is all around me. I've got friends running around me. Ruth is coming to see me in the refuge, so I'm not alone. The refuge is a whole different lifestyle on its own. There's a whole different thing going on there, but I'm not getting involved. I'm just going to work doing my own thing. And God will heal me in that place. I will be in there for almost 6 months until I then get my own place. And then I also have to worry now when I've got my place because it's all quiet. You know, everyone, my family are all down south. I'm missing everyone, but it's okay. I'm an introvert, so I start to learn to manage, you know, love my own company, which I eventually do. And I've done that for the past 10 years now. Except now, my family just keep dropping by almost every day, you know, and they never want to go, but that's okay too. So Well, I get my own place. And I did come to this church. I came to see Mark. He was in there. And I said, oh, I was asking about the church. And it was when you had home groups. I'm like, no, I don't want to home group. I walked away saying, I don't want to do home groups because I didn't want to talk. I didn't really want to make friends at this point. I just wanted to be on my own, you know, while I sort my life out. So I didn't come to this church. I will come again when Barry Woodward came to speak. And I think I saw Rukia. I'm like, no, she doesn't know that. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming here. I don't want to know anyone here. I just want to come and go as I please. So it takes quite some years. I went to a church nearby in Denton here. I love the people. The women still come for our programs. But I wasn't growing. You know, the fun part was over now. I needed to get real. I wasn't growing, so I'm looking for a church. I still went to my church in Hattersley, but it was a bit too far. I couldn't make it always. And so some Sundays I go, some I don't, or whatever. And I was looking for a church, so I thought, well. And then it was COVID. Of course, everybody was now at home. And I hadn't been well. I'd had a couple of operations just the week before the lockdown. I wanted to go to family because I was going to be off work for a long time. But, of course, with the lockdown, I couldn't. And so I'm stuck at home now. I don't really want to join online Zoom church because I just find it a bit watching other people, I don't know. And I decided, I think something came up on my phone and it was like a morning prayer group, something like that. And that was where I plugged in. And that would change my whole mindset. And anything they had going on that YouTube channel, I was listening, I was on it, whether they were singing, whatever they were doing. And by the time COVID had come to an end, I was ready to burst. I mean, I just needed somewhere now to go. Not back to the church I was. I needed somewhere. And I thought, well, let's try this one. It's closer home. I like church close home. I've always loved that kind of thing because you could always come for other programs and every other thing happening in the week. So I came. But I still like by the door there, and that would be Sue, who will not let me go away because I usually would just run off until she grabbed me, and that's how I sort of settled in the church here. And I'm looking now at how far when I came to church and what's happening. And then we had the women's, like an open day, I will call. And I sat with Rukia because the Rukia I was running away from was now a familiar face in the church now. You know, now I don't really know a lot of people, but I know Rukia from whenever. So, you know, God must have a sense of humor. I'm running from her like so many years ago. Then this time I'm like drawing closer to her. And she's saying about the women's ministry. I'm like, not really. I just want to be at the door. I don't want to, you know, I'm not here for. I just want to come worship and go. I don't want to be involved in much. The door is okay, you know, do it every other Sunday and, you know, mind my business and go. So she indicated about the women, and I'm indicating about the door. But when Lisa comes to tell us, you know, oh, yeah, the pastors and the elders, they've given the go-ahead. You can now run this. Of course, I'm with Rukia because we do this like every Sunday. And she tells us, and I'm thinking, well, I didn't really. But I don't really voice much that. I didn't really sign up for this. I signed up for the door, which I'm already on. I didn't sign up for the women, but I will go along with it. Liz also was sitting with us that day. She didn't indicate to be in the women's thing. And she's like, she is also, she joins in. So that's how Jules is there and the four of us start that. And I remember when we were to have the first meeting, I don't know whether I volunteered or I was you know, maybe picked. I can't remember. And I'm like, okay, well, I will step out in faith and also in fear. So come that day, I stepped out and I'm like, oh, I'll share. It's the word of God. What's the, you know, to mess you up, but it's the word of God. And that will change a lot of things. That girl who was so afraid, this is where my message is going, who didn't have any confidence, and I still don't. I'm not the most confident. I'm not the most eloquent. I'm sure if you were picking all the wrong words I've said, you've made a full page out of your... I'm not the most clever. But I'm saying that God can use anybody. As long as you just make yourself available, he can. There are two scriptures I've been holding on to, and one is Isaiah 43:18-19. That has also been these two scriptures have been confirmed by people I look up to in the church here, so I think I'm on the right path. So when I started the year, I remember these scriptures, and it says about God doing a new thing. The other one is Philippians 3:12-14. It also says, like, forgetting the past. Yeah, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. It says he's doing a new thing. Can you not see? I just want to tell you that no matter what your past was, no matter what the present was, no matter what your victories were, no matter what your failures were, no matter what the rejections were, no matter, you know, the good times, the bad times, God is doing a new thing. He never changes. His word is true. You know, it might be you've been so great before, he can even do better. And that's what I'm exploring this year. I'm like, God... He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I mean, this is where you shouldn't see streams there are. Why would you, in the wilderness, who makes a way there? But God is saying he will. He will make the impossible possible. If you also look at Philippians 3:12-14, it says that we should forget, let it go. No matter how great it was, let that go. If you don't open your hands, God cannot put something new in. You know, if your hands are closed and I'm trying to drop something in, it won't happen. It's going to fall off. He said, this is Paul saying, now that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Can we have the next one? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. I'm not there yet. None of us is. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. There is a prize. There is a mark. There's somewhere we're going. We're not just coming to church on Sunday. Oh, where did you go? I went to church. Yeah, that's great. And then your colleagues have a good laugh. Well, that's okay. I don't care. If that's my persecution, I'll deal with that one. But we have a prize. There is a prize. There is something we're going for at the end. Christianity is not, and it will cost you. Christianity will cost you. It's costly. You know, I know that's not something everyone wants to hear, but it is. It's not cheap. We're seated here on chairs and the heat is going and that, you know. I'm not going to go so much into that. I'll say that some biblical principles that I hold on to that have worked for me. Now, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. Mark, I'm sorry, but I just want to share. This is my view. So if you don't like it, don't take it. It's tithing. Now, if you're not heard of that, it's about giving your 10%. I know we don't say that here. It works for me, and I'm sure there are a few people here who do that. And I'm not going to say put your hand up. Some say gross, some say net. You know, what are you? I know where I stand, and I think you can tell where I stand without me saying it. And that is in Malachi 3:10. It says that we should bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now it's Old Testament, but it's in the Bible. So I do it. I don't know about you. I'm not saying you should, but... That's up to you. That's for me. And if you have any questions, that's the pastor, the other pastor. No. So The other one is fasting. I try. You have to let this body sometimes relax. Yeah. If I say I'll fast tomorrow, then I'm in so much hunger today. But then when I could wake up tomorrow, when I'm not fasting and not eat till the certain time. But mainly I say I'm fasting, my body is this thing. But I do it, you know. Kill the body a bit, this body. Let this body go. I love my King James Version. King James. I don't know, the Africans, we do like our King James. You can see someone smiling. We do. But I don't know. That's what I was brought up on when I got born again. So then I came to the UK with my King James Version to church, and it's NIV. Everyone is reading. But it's okay. But I just wanted to read one scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Let's see what it is in the NIV. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You know, the other one is, blessed is he that sitteth not, standeth not, you know. But I still love my King James anyway, I know. We shouldn't. I don't know why we have, well, I don't know, but because the English is here, but we still love the seated and standard and that, but that's fine. It's all in the Bible. So I would use other versions anyway, because sometimes I don't always understand the King James. I have to break it down. But if I'm going to memorize something, it will be the King James, because I find it a lot shorter. Now, I'm not selling the King James to you. I'm just telling you what it sells more in Africa. I don't think it sells a lot at this side. Anyway, the other one is church family. I know we're not perfect. Oh, I think all the drama most times is even in church. They said that, did that, touch that. Da, 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 da. Oh, by the way, this was given to me by Eddie and Kat. Yeah. And they have helped me a lot. They've given me books concerning my gifts. So there are lots of people. I'm not going to mention other names because I will leave many out, but I love you all. So, church family, not perfect. No, 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 no. Because we're still on it. But, oh, love your church family. You never know the questions you're answering. The answers might be here. And sometimes it's not just spiritual things. It's also all the aspects of life. I've come to see that church family, they've always, always, always been there. In my previous church, they were there. Every church I've been in. Well, and I guess also because I get involved. If you're involved, we can see. People can see. If you're not involved, it's hard to know, you know, what's going on in your life. So church family, please do get involved. Imperfect we are, you know, hot tea, cold tea. I don't like me tea. There's always that tea drama going on in the back there. But it's still church family. Let's, you know, just go past that one. Watch what you are watching. I prefer to say it that way. What are you watching? What are you reading? Where are you going? You know, sometimes we get into trouble with where our legs take us. We get into trouble with what we're watching. Sometimes I watch some stuff and it's like, I think that very night I'm like in trouble because I get this attack and I'm like, oh, you did. Then I start to think, what did you do in the day? Oh, it's what you were watching. What are you watching? What are you reading? Where are you going? Study the Bible. It's great to come to church. The Bible says, you know, the assembling. Do not forget the assembling of the brethren. Come and, you know, we share the word. I like when you said to me, I'm still coming. And I said, yeah, keep coming. Some Sundays it's hard to come. Oh, I don't want to. I haven't slept. Today I was so nervous. I've been up since 3 o'clock. And I'm like, well, you have to show up. You know, just show up. Even if you don't say anything, let it be you were there in church. Keep coming. Yeah, the Bible says hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear the word of God. So let's keep coming, even when we don't feel like it's snowing, raining, what. We still go to work, don't we? So let's keep coming to church. Study the Bible. Get to know it yourself. There's so many wrong messages these days. And if we are not searching the Bible, we're not going to be able to say that's wrong and that's right. So you need to study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. So God has been faithful. I'll just finish my message. I don't have the 2.5 children. I'm not married. I've been single now for 10 years. Now I'm not old. They're not elder single men here, so that's okay. I'm not advertising myself. Yeah. I've been single for 10 years. And I'm okay. I'm complete in myself. I'm okay. If it happens, it happens. But I'm not swiping left or right. I don't even know how that works, you know. So it is what it is. I'm not the maths teacher I wanted to be. I work in ASDA. I go almost every night. I grumble and I come back the same. And I'm like, why not quit? But I'm still going. But that is a decision I have to really come to terms with. You know, Christianity, they say, it's a religion, it's true, like there's other religions, but it's more a relationship. The more you put in, the more you get out. You invest more, you get out of it. You know, you don't even need the imam and the rabbi to tell you, oh yeah, don't eat that. Read the book. It will tell you the one you should do and the one you shouldn't do. So keep coming. That's me done.
Wasn't she good? Yes. Should we give her another round of applause for that? Because yes. We honour the person as well as the God speaking through, and I know it.